From what I understand of the song Sister Betty just sang, "Let the Lower Lights Be Burning," tells of a seaman who on a dark and a foggy night was approaching harbor and couldn't see a single light but one off in the distance, and asked his one that was there with him, "Are you sure that's the lighthouse of the harbor?" And said, "Yeah, I believe that it is." And he asked, "Well, where are the lower lights?" Speaking of the houses along the shore. And he said they'd be all extinguished already because of the hour. The challenge to us is the light of the lighthouse of Christ will always shine. But Lord, help us that our lights not be dimmed and not be put out in the darkness of our age. I'd like for us to consider something that's given into our charge and responsibility this afternoon. What is it that we all have? It usually seems like we have more than what we really do, and we can never get more of. I'd like for us to turn to 1 Kings. You can ponder on that while we go to 1 Kings, the 20th chapter. I'd like to pick up a story here at beginning with the 35th verse. The story of Ahab and coming out of battle, he had chosen to spare Ben-Hadad's life against the commandment that he had been given. Beginning in the 35th verse of 1 Kings 20, "And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor in the word of the Lord, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then said he unto him, Because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. Then as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Then he found another man and said, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and said, Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me, and said, Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, So shall thy judgment be. Thou hast decided it." Like for us to consider this little account that the man who was clothed in sackcloth gave to the king. The king, of one who sat in judgment, wasn't probably uncommon for him to receive a request or to hear something like this. "Will you solve or will you weigh in on this matter between me and my neighbors or my family or whatever the situation is? Weigh in on this and give a judgment or a decision on it." And this was one that to the king seemed pretty straightforward. You made an agreement. You understood what was at stake. You were given a man to keep charge of, to watch over this man, this prisoner. And the agreement was at the start of it, if you let him go, this is your charge, your responsibility, not anyone else's. And if you should let him go, here's the consequence of it. Your life is going to be for his. The stakes are high here. And the king, as he considered that, considered it to be a pretty clear-cut decision. It's already decided. You've decided it on yourself. As was agreed, so let it be. Thyself hast decided. And then he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was one of the prophets. And he had a message in what he was trying to impart to him from that. He said, "Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life and thy people for his people." He didn't understand it when it was in terms of his own doings. But I'd like for us to consider this in a little different vein. Folks, today, every one of us have been given something into our hands, into our responsibility and our charge. One of which I think most naturally comes to mind is our soul. Our soul is continually in our hands. I can't look to anyone else. I won't be able at the judgment day to point to anybody else for the deeds of my soul, for the welfare of my soul. But I'd like for us to consider something else that's given into our hands, and that is time. Time is something that every one of us, and that's back to the question I began with, what is it that every one of us have? Usually seems like we have more than what we really do, and we can never get more of it. It's time. We're all living in time side of eternity. God created time for our benefit, not for His. He lives outside of time, and He doesn't need the sun and the rising of it to tell Him what time it is or to keep track of the seasons and all of that. He lives beyond that. He doesn't need that. But He created time for our use and for us to mark the seasons and the days. Psalms 39 and verse 4. Psalms 39 and 4 says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is not as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Lord, help me to know. Give me some concept of the measure of my time. Help me to be able to understand, as David wrote in Psalms 90 as well. Lord, teach us to number our days. Lord, help us to be able to know and to understand. James, the fourth chapter, it talks about those who would say, tomorrow we'll go into such and such city and buy and sell and get gain. And just by the normal course of life, we put a lot of stock into the future. We put it and we have to plan. We have to make provisions to an extent. But folks, time is given into our hands. Our responsibility. What are we doing with the time that we've been given? We can't get any more of it. We're not going to be able to reclaim any of it that's already gone. What are we doing with the time that the Lord has given us in our lives? It's something that every one of us will stand and give an account of what I've done with the time that the Lord has given me. It is a resource that seems like is in scarce supply sometimes. In our time, I guess that's the only time I can speak of, but I know it seems awfully busy. And I know it can seem like life just goes by sometimes in a blur. What's the answer that many times you hear whenever you ask someone, well, how have you been? How's life going for you? Well, you know, I've been trying to find more things to do. I just sitting around, I don't have anything to do, and I'm kind of bored, and life's really slow right now. Generally, it's not that way. It's usually all busy, busy, busy as usual, so much going on. Time, something that is limited, but is the responsibility of every one of us. I'd like to give us a reminder today, the frailty of our days. The shortness of our years, it seems like whenever you're a child, 16 will never arrive. Whenever I can get my driver's license, it drags by so slow. Whenever I'm counting down to the end of the school year, oh, which months go by faster? I ask the school children, is it the summer months or the school months? The school months tend to just drag by sometimes. But the summer months, they go by a little faster. And you're back in school before you know it. But it seems like whenever you're young and your life is ahead of you, it seems like you've got so much of it ahead. But you begin to realize over the course of years that it goes by a lot faster than what you realize it will. You tend to think you have more than what you really do. Lord, help us to be careful with this responsibility. To be careful with this, call it a man, with When this time that the Lord has said, Clint, this is yours. All of the opportunity that time holds, it's yours. I said it before you. We all have the same number of hours in the day and the same number of days in the year. But I'm going to have to give an account for the time in my life. How did I spend that time? You know, if we're not careful, in the normal process of life, we can allow ourselves to become so hemmed in, so crowded, so distracted, that as this man said, the prophet, lo, as thy servant was busy here and there, he got away. You know, I believe it's the same with time. As we get busy here and there with life and the normal course of life, and I'm occupied in this thing and I'm occupied in that thing, and before I know it, I'll be looking in the rearview mirror saying, where did it go? Thinking of a song, I don't have the words of it to me, with me, but it says, wasted years, oh how foolish. You know, it's wasted years begin with wasted days and wasted weeks. How are we spending the time that we have now? Because it seems like I've got so much of it ahead of me. Like I've got tomorrow, and it's what I believe James was addressing. Be careful about saying, tomorrow I'll take care of this. Tomorrow I'll go, and here's my plan, and putting all your stock in tomorrow. Because the tomorrows are limited. And as one scripture says, it is high time that we awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's drawing closer every time. We're like this, like the sand that's running out so quickly. There's no putting it back. No turning this sand dial over. It's going one direction. Lord, help us to be good stewards of the time that He's given to us. Procrastination is an enemy we've got to look out for. I don't know, perhaps some people are more prone, more susceptible, or inclined to procrastination than others. It's something that I'll confess I've had to work on all my life. If I know a home in school, I know a homework assignment is due next Friday. Oh, that's a week away. I don't have to worry about that this weekend. That's only Monday. You know, there's really some other things I'd rather do this evening. Then, well, Tuesday, I really need to start, something else comes up and something else comes. Then it's Wednesday and maybe feeling a little more pressure, but Wednesday holds its own things and its own stuff that I've got to take care of. And before I know it, it's Thursday evening. And I realize I've got a test due tomorrow. I procrastinated. I've waited and I've wasted time that I could have been putting to a valuable use. I'd like to be able to stand here and tell you that I outgrew that when I left middle school. But you know, I found that it's something that's followed me that I have to watch out for. I can find it cropping up on the job. Something that I've got a deadline. You know, deadlines can almost be deceptive. Because I look out and I say, oh, I need to have this thing done on December 10th. And it's not but December 3rd or whatever now. And so I've got some time. But how quickly those deadlines creep up on us. The thing about our lives is that none of us know what the deadline is. None of us know what that due date is. Lord, help me not to get into the mindset of procrastination. Into the mindset of those things about what really matters in life, beyond the test and beyond the assignments at work and things like that. The needs of my soul, the work of the Lord. You know, the scripture says in Ecclesiastes, he that observeth the wind will not sow. He that is looking to the wind and to the clouds and waiting for the perfect opportunity. You know, the way I believe life will tend to go is that I'll always think there's a better time later on. Well, if I can wait until the next stage of my life to really get serious about living for the Lord, to work for the Lord, to make myself available for the Lord's service and the Lord's work, and to really consecrate my life to Him. Lord, you know I'm so busy right now. I've got school. I've got college. You see, I've got this job. Well, now, Lord, I've got a young family, and I've got children, and they're taking up my time, and they're crying, and they're needing my attention. If I'll wait until, and wait until, and wait until the day when I look and I say, where'd time go? And it's like sand that slipped out of my fingers. Before we know it, time is gone. As your servant was busy here and there, distracted, Martha was cumbered about with much serving. You're going to tell me serving's not essential? Any of us going to eat without it being served, without it being cooked? And there are essential things of life that we have to take care of. But the challenge for us is that we realize the responsibility, the charge that we've been given as stewards of our time. How are we managing it? What are we doing with it? It can seem like in the busyness of life, I just don't have time. I just don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. And it seems like the things that I don't have time for are the things like reading the Word and things like that that the flesh doesn't really want to do. Because when it comes down to it, it's not about how much time I do or don't have. We all have the same amount, the same number of hours in a day. The question is, what am I doing with the time that I have? What are the priorities that I'm placing on my time? Businesses recognize the importance of this and teach time management skills. Here's how to organize your time and to discipline yourself and how to make sure you're not just wasting time, but making the most of it. Productivity, of course, to be able to get the most that we can out of the time that an employee is at work. But I wonder about the Lord. And I wonder about me. How easy it can be to get caught up in the busyness of life, to get caught up here and there and become distracted and lose the focus of what's most important on the time. Because I believe there's something to this. We'll make time for what's most important to us. We'll make time for what means the most to us. But there are only so many hours in the day, and there's only so much that we can cram in, and those things that are less important to us will be the things that fall by the wayside, will be the things that I don't really tend to and that I don't take the time for. Oh, Lord, help us that we not give the Lord our leftovers, that we not give the Lord and procrastinate and put off. And Lord, if I have any left, or if I find a season of my life that things slow down a little bit, or there's not so much distraction and things I'm having, Lord, then I'll be able to spend more time with you. I remember one brother said one time, talking about how busy he was, his business, his work, and I just wish I could have all day this job. If I didn't have to work, I could have all day long to read the Bible. The brother did end up quitting his job. Lasted for a while, but he found that it didn't have the results that he was looking for. Because it's not really about how much time we have. It's about how are my priorities. With the time that I have, what am I doing with it? Am I putting the Lord first in the time and the hours that I have? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Lord, help me to check myself sometimes. Because I've found myself having to, Lord, challenge me on lines like this where I know I needed to send an email to encourage this individual or make a phone call, or I needed to take care of, but Lord, I did not have time today. And then I began to look back. Well, you know, I did do this for 30 minutes, and I did take care of that, and I, you know, really, I did have the time. I just didn't spend it wisely. And it's so easy for us to squander what the Lord has given us. And I believe time is one of the most valuable resources that the Lord has given us. So what are we doing with it? Lord, help us that we be good stewards of it. I want to look at a scripture in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 and 14 says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Redeeming the time. To redeem is to buy back, to pay the price or the ransom for, that you might procure something, as Christ redeemed us from the bondage of sin. He paid the price and he claimed us unto himself. But this has a little different bearing. As I mentioned, you can't get any more time. I'm not able to go back and say, "Lord, give me yesterday to do over again. Lord, would you rewind things here a few years?" Oh, sometimes how much we wish we could do that. Oh, Lord, rewind time a little bit here. Lord, would you back? But I can't do that. I don't have that luxury. And the runway ahead of me is getting shorter and shorter. So the only thing left for me to do, Lord, help me to redeem the time that I have. Lord, help me to make the very most of the time that I already have. If you use the GPS, you plug in an address and it tells you where you're going and how long, and some of the GPSs will tell you an ETA. Here's what time you're expected to arrive. You know, if you dilly-dally around and you stop at one store and you stop somewhere, stop for gas, and you do that, and you look, and now that time is further and further along, and let's say you're headed to service and you realize, "Oh, I'm going to be 3 minutes late." Well, be careful here, but there's a way to redeem the time. And redeeming the time isn't, you know what, oh, they got a going out of business sale right here. Let's stop for a minute and see what's going on over here. Redeeming the time is, I can't afford it. I can't afford to spend time on that. I can't afford to waste it on this. You know, whenever we consider our lives and we look at, scripture talks about those things that are lawful, but they're not expedient. I want us to be challenged this afternoon with the time that I have, that we redeem the time that we have. There are things I could look at and I could say, you know, there is nothing wrong with this. Remember one time when I was in college, remember I had back whenever the Palm Pilots or whatever they were, the first PDAs were starting to come out, and got one of those, and I had a little Tetris game. Kind of aging myself here, but that was the technological advance at the time. In your palm of your hand, you could have a little Tetris game. And I don't know, I enjoyed Tetris, and I found, you know, you build from one level to the next. And I found myself spending a lot of time on that when I needed to be studying for school and I needed to be studying for the Lord. There's nothing wrong with playing Tetris. There's nothing wrong with making blocks stack and something like that. But I was challenged with the time that I'm spending. What am I making of it? What am I doing with the time that I have? Whenever I recognize time is short, oh, I'm busy. There's so much crammed into my life. Well, what am I doing then with the time that I do have? Because there can be things like that. You fill in the blank or whatever it might be in your life that can consume so much of my time. Let me just throw one other out there. Social media can consume so much of our time. It can take up so much, and nothing wrong with, I want to see how brother so-and-so and cousin so-and-so is doing. But if we're not careful, the enemy wants to rob us of our time. The enemy wants to rob us of our time so that we get to the end of the day and I haven't done anything for the Lord or for my soul, and I'm out of time now, and those days turn into weeks and months and years until I get to the point that the day of my life, I look back on and I say, "Where did it go?" Only one life. 'Twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. I want to caution us about boredom. Boredom is the devil's playground. Boredom tends to come whenever you have some idle time. Some time that's not put to good employment. You remember the story of David? In the events leading up to David's big transgression, whenever he walked out on the rooftop and saw the woman bathing, it says, preceding that, that it was the time of years when kings go up to battle. You know what David was? David was a king. You know where David should have been? David should have been out of battle. But David, for whatever reason, was lying on his bed and had some idle time, and whatever he was doing with it, we have to, a little liberty to read into some of why was he there and not out to battle. But the one thing we know is that David had some idle time, and the devil took advantage of it. Lord, help us to guard ourselves with the time that we have, that I not allow it to go to waste, that I not allow it to turn into the shaft that just blows away with the wind and it's gone. Life's not always going to be exciting. Every moment of every day is not going to be action-packed. We live in a technological age today where we tend to be fed with action and packing more and more into productivity, and your phone can do this and you can do that with technology, and those that feed on a diet of television and cartoons and all of that, that is a constant image changing and constant something else that's happening that you feed on. And then we wonder why so many children have attention problems in school and not able to focus and really settle down. I'm used to something always changing, something always happening. There always being something exciting before me, and I don't know what to do with just some still, quiet time. And so you see people walking down the road, pumping gas, whatever they're doing, and they've got earbuds in their ears, listening to something that the Lord would listen to with you. I don't have any problem with that. But there's nothing wrong with quiet time. There's nothing wrong with getting still before the Lord and saying, Lord, this is your time. I want to make the most of this. I don't believe I've ever found a time when I've said, Lord, this is your time. Lord, would you talk to me? Lord, I want to shut it all out for a little while, that I've come out of that and said, boy, that was a waste of time. Lord, help us so we redeem the time that we have left. None of us know how much or how little it is. Lord, help me to make the most of it. Help me not to dilly-dally around too much along the way. Help me not to become too distracted by the cares and responsibilities of life, so that life just begins to go by in a blur and I find it slipping out of my hands. I'd like to look at Luke 19. Luke 19 and 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and he said unto them, occupy till I come. Folks, we don't know when the Lord's returning. We don't know how much time that we have. But what we do know is that what the Lord has given to us, he's told us to occupy till I come. Make the most of what I've given you. Can we say that time is one of those things the Lord's given us? Time is one of the things that he's given to every one of us. Perhaps we could say that is one of the talents that the Lord has given to every one of us. It's valuable. It's something that people so often wish they could turn back the clock and rewind and get more of. It's valuable, and it's in our hands. Lord, help us not to squander it, not to go and just bury it in the dirt and make idle use of it. Lord, help me to occupy till I come. The song sometimes sings says, every hour for Jesus. Lord, help us that we be challenged today. I'm not suggesting to you that I do or that the Lord expects 24 hours of our day to be spent reading the Word. But he expects that we put him first. He expects that we put His kingdom and His word and His ways first and foremost as the priority of my life. As I have opportunity, the scripture says, let us do good to those, especially the household of faith. And as I have opportunity, Lord, I want to redeem the time. Lord, is there something more that I can do for you? Lord, maybe I've got an afternoon here, Lord. Got some things I'd like to take care of, but Lord, is there anything I can do for you here? Lord, is there something I can do to make a difference? Folks, the work of the Lord is great. And it goes far beyond standing behind a pulpit or a podium to teach. It goes far beyond traveling to other lands as a missionary. The work of the Lord is so great, and it is around every one of us. Lord, help me. Lord, what am I doing with the time that you've given me today? Lord, can I make a difference today for you? For somebody, Lord, is there something that maybe I could give a little bit of my time? You know, sometimes that means more to people than anything else. Just a little bit of our time. Just to show them that I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to come or whatever you need and just show you I care by giving you some of my time. May the Lord help us that as we've been given the charge that the prophet spoke of, this is yours. He's in your hands. You've got the responsibility of it. What are we doing with it? Lord, help us that we be good stewards of the time that He's given and redeem the time that remains before each one of us. You pray for me. Amen.